Let's continue that reflective theme, or whatever you want to say. Let's bow our heads and just close our eyes for a little bit. I don't know how many of you take time to reflect, time to get away a little bit. I'm not talking about for a weekend, but just for a time, and reflect about your life in general. You know, with all the business of our lives, with cell phones and computers and iPods and all kind of things that keep our minds rolling, let's just pause and reflect on life. Reflect on your relationship with God. Your walk with God, is it alive? Is it real? Is it a real part of your life? Think about relationships in your life, family, husband, wife, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, friends, like Mark talked about. Think about your prayer life with God. What's that like? Is that a real part of your life, of your everyday experience? Think about hard times in your life. Have they drawn you closer to God, or are you farther away because of them? Think about the good times. Have they made you self-sufficient? Or have they drawn your heart to God in thanksgiving and praise? What's reflecting like for you? Is it a place you love to go and hear from God, or is it a place that scares you? Lord, in the quietness of this morning, we give our hearts to you. Lord, we want to reflect this morning on our prayer life and to realize that it is a source of power to us, of connection with you. In Jesus' name, amen. From time to time, I do reflect on my life and what God is doing in my life, and what God wants to do, and what life is doing to me. What is it drawing me to Him, or is it pushing me away? I found myself pondering a few questions lately, and they have to do with prayer. Maybe you've wondered the same things from time to time. Of what is the purpose of prayer? What is the purpose of my prayers? Does God need my prayers? And what difference do my prayers make? Do they make any difference? On one side, we have those who say God is sovereign and in control of all things. It doesn't matter if I pray or not. What is, happens, will happen. On the other side, we have those who say, and these are the extremes, prayer changes things, and nothing happens without our prayers. And would have espouse the idea that God is limited to our prayers and cannot work except through our prayers. I think both are correct, not in what they affirm, but in what they deny. It's true, God is sovereign, and He's in control of our lives. But it's not true that we don't need to pray. And while it's true prayer changes things, God is not limited to our prayers. Let's look at some scriptures. Open your Bibles to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:1. 111, I'm sorry. Too many ones. Ephesians 1, verse 11. In whom we have obtained the inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God's sovereignty, God's will. God has a plan, a purpose. Go with me to Psalms 103. 103, verse 19. Psalms 103, verse 19 says, Jehovah has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God's sovereignty. God is in control. Never forget it. God is sovereign. Now let's look at some verses on our need to pray. Turn to James 5, verse 16. I think it's good when we look at these scriptures and turn to them and read them. And then later when we come back to them, it reminds us of what we have read before. James 5, verse 16 says, Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our prayers are important. Our prayers do matter. Turn the page to James 4, verse 2. It says, Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Again, we have not because we ask not. The need to pray. The all-familiar verse of Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And so we have on one hand that God is sovereign and God is in control. On the other hand, we have God wants us to pray and come to him in prayer. As you were reflecting a little bit ago, how many of you said to yourself, I'm not as close to God as I once was? Or in thinking of your prayer life, that it feels like my prayers only go to the ceiling. And maybe you have thought in some way, at some point in your life, that since God is in control, what's the use that I pray? How many of you said maybe that God isn't working in my life like he used to? As you were reflecting. This morning I want this to be as practical for the youngest to the oldest. And it may not be something new and earth-shattering, but it's a call to prayer. It's a call to the power that is available to us through prayer. I want to share with you the dilemma. Being a farmer, I'll use a farmer analogy. I have a tractor in the field with a plow behind it. And of course, it's green. For all those of you who wonder what color it was, you all have a picture. So we're going to paint it green. You have a key in your hand. You jump in the tractor seat, you put it in gear, and nothing happens. You shake your head and wonder. Now, I'm painting this picture. It's so extreme to make a point. The tractor doesn't move, so you jump out, you unhook the plow, and you grab a hold of the plow, and you start going down, trying to go down through the field, pulling the plow by yourself. Now, you say, duh. And like I said, I painted a picture that duh, that it grabs you and gets a and points you to a point. You know, sometimes when we stand back at something and we do, it looks kind of silly. And so I painted that picture to make the analogy that sometimes in our Christian lives we are frustrated because God's not working in our life. And things aren't happening in our life. When all along, we have a key in our hand. And I want to talk about that key. All I would have to do is jump in that tractor, put the key in the ignition, turn the key to unleash the power of that engine. I could have pulled that plow down through the field, no sweat. But no, I denied the power of the key. I said, the key is useless. I put it in my pocket. I got out, I grabbed a hold of that plow, and I started pulling that plow down through the field. I got wore out, burned out. I said, this isn't working. I ditched the plow. The field doesn't need plowed after all. And I go home. How many of us in our Christian lives say the same thing? We try to live the Christian life on our own strength. We try to do it alone. We try to pull the plow alone. And we start pulling, we get burned out. And we throw the plow away and say, it's not worth it after all. And we give up and go home spiritually. This morning I want to talk to you about the key that I held in my hand when I jumped in that tractor seat. The key is prayer. The power of prayer. I think there's a number of reasons why our prayers don't get answered, or we don't seem like we have the power. One reason is in James 4, verse 3. Turn to that if you care to. James 4, verse 3. It says, ye receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. One of the reasons we're not getting our prayers answered is because we're asking in the wrong way. We're asking amiss for the wrong reasons. Maybe out of selfish reasons or for personal gain that I may have or that I may get or that I may be or do or whatever. Another reason, like I already referred to a little bit, but it's maybe because we have the power, we have the key of prayer in our hands, and we're not unleashing the power. We throw the key away and said, it doesn't mean anything to me. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Some of you may recognize this passage before I even read it. And I don't claim to understand this passage to the fullest, but just think with me for a moment. Matthew 16, verse 19 says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Like I say, I don't claim to be an authority on this scripture, but a key is access. It unlocks something. It gives you access to something. And with the key of prayer, we have access to something. I believe the key is prayer. And we come to God and asking God for something. And we come to God through prayer and asking. We have the resources available for God to move into our life and to work in our life and to move in our life. I want us to get the picture this morning of a big warehouse of power, of strength that is waiting. Or maybe another picture would be when you go into the hospital and on the wall they have an oxygen, a port where you plug in oxygen for a patient. That oxygen port does no good unless you plug into that port. If you're there in a hospital and you need oxygen, that port does you no good unless you plug into it. And the same way with us as Christians through prayer. God has an abundant warehouse of power, of grace, of strength, just awaiting to give to us. But we need to come to him and ask it. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, therefore let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace in time of need. As children of God, we have access to power. We have access to enabling strength from God. But it comes through prayer. It comes through the Holy Spirit in prayer and asking. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. What is grace? Grace is an enabling power of God that we need in our life to live victoriously for him. I want to look at the life of Jesus and the importance of prayer in his life. Turn to Luke 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I believe this is Jesus' mission statement. You know, Jesus moved always under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And as believers, as Christians, we need that enabling power of God in our life to live victoriously, to do what He has called us to do. 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover sight of the blind, to the blind, to give liberty to them that are bruised. Think with me as the disciples followed Jesus around, and they saw His power. They saw Him do His miraculous works. They saw Him heal. They saw Him just do many miraculous things. And I can't help but think they wondered how He got this power. Where did He get His strength to do this? And then they saw Jesus go away for times of prayer, a time of connecting with God, for Him to unleash His power upon him, for God to infuse His strength and power on Jesus. And they knew there was a connection between power and prayer. And you don't see the disciples asking Jesus, "Lord, teach me how to get this power." What did they ask in Matthew 6? They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They saw a connection between prayer and power. You know, there's many examples we get from Jesus and His life. But when I saw this picture, it was just powerful to me. The connection of Jesus' prayer and the connection to the power. Jesus gave us the prayer in Matthew 6, we call it the Lord's Prayer. And it's not just a prayer that we're supposed to recite over and over again, but I believe it's the prayer to teach us how to access the power that we need in our life, the power to live victoriously. In His prayer, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, many people think this is a future prayer, that it's a someday prayer. But I believe it's a today prayer, just as much as "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors" is a today prayer. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We're asking God's kingdom to invade our circumstances, asking God's power to invade our life right now. In the business of our life, sometimes we forget the most basic things I think as Christians we need to remember. And two of the most basic things is who we are and where we are going. Who we are as Christians and where we are going. All of us who have been born again, who have asked Jesus into our heart, have a citizenship in heaven. We are citizens of another kingdom, of a heavenly kingdom. We have papers to prove that we are sons and daughters of God. We represent a higher authority and a higher power than any force of hell. And I think when we understand the power and authority we have as Christians, it'll totally change our prayer life. We have a key to access the powers of heaven. We have the key to access the throne of God. And how many times we put that key in our pocket, unhook the plow, and try to plow ourselves. We have that power. We have the key in our hands. Someone has said Satan doesn't tremble. Satan does tremble when he sees the weakest Christians on his knees. Why? Because he's not afraid of us. Because he's afraid of the power that we get from prayer. He's afraid of the power that is ours to be victorious over Satan, over his forces, over evil, over darkness. And so I believe the questions I asked at the beginning were, do my prayers really matter? And is God moved by our prayers? I believe those are thoughts that Satan wants us to think on and get us to doubt and to say, "Now, what's the big deal with prayer? I can live life on my own. I don't need to pray. I'm just fine without it. It takes time." I believe if Satan can get us to believe that, Satan rejoices because he's rendered another servant powerless. If he can convince us to stop praying, he's rendered us powerless. Are you and I still using the key of prayer to access the powers of heaven? As a representative of the kingdom of God, there are a few kingdom rules that we need to obey in order to be a part of the kingdom. Romans 5, verse 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." A foundational law of the kingdom is love. In Matthew 22, verse 34, the Pharisees were questioning Jesus, and they thought they were going to corner him. He said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "To love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself." And I think these are basic kingdom laws to obey. As we live life in the kingdom, in our heavenly kingdom, we need to have love in our hearts for God and love for our fellow men. And I don't think we can expect kingdom results without obeying kingdom rules. I don't think we expect to have our prayers answered when we don't have love in our heart to God. And we don't have love in our hearts for our fellow men. Prayers like, "Lord, no, give me this, give me that." Prayer is available. The power is available to us, but not for personal gain. Not that we don't benefit spiritually from the power that is given to us. But God wants to recognize and to have the spirit of love in our hearts. If we want God's power to be demonstrated in our love, in our life, love needs to be the motivating force behind our prayers. God's love in our hearts, love for fellow men. As we pray out of that motivation, God is honored and God will hear our prayers. And we need to come to God and submit our will to God's will. Not that he wants to hold power from us, but that he wants us to depend on him for our power and our strength. And I believe as we grow in our relationship with God, we'll realize the importance and the connection of prayer and power. And prayer will go from a crisis type of thing to an everyday part of our life. A lot of times, I find myself being a crisis prayer, where I get in a bind and I say, "Lord, I need your help." God wants us to come to him on a daily basis, every moment of our lives, communing with him, thanksgiving and praise. I think once we realize the power that is ours, it'll totally change our life. And we are able to access the throne of God from our place here on earth. That we have a key and access to God's enabling power. What an awesome thought. Prayer is a key that unleashes the unlimited resources of God. Power that penetrates earth's brokenness and loneliness and darkness and brings healing and wholeness. God's awesome power of resource of prayer. Jesus said, "Until I come and introduce my ultimate authority on this earth," Jesus said, "I want the kingdom rule and the heavenly kingdom's role and power, I want you to invite it into your circumstances, into your life, into the world around you, and show the world around us what the kingdom of God is really all about, what the kingdom of God is like." And we need God's enabling power to flow through us through prayer. Lord, give me strength to live. Lord, give me the what I need every moment of my life. Allow God to penetrate our lives as we minister to others. And I believe how well we accept this privilege of prayer will determine how much of God's power will penetrate our lives. Back to the question, it doesn't seem like God is doing anything in my life. What's your prayer life like? Are you accessing the power? All heaven's power, all of power in heaven and earth is the Lord's, but the release of heaven's power is ours through prayer. As we tap into that source, as we plug into that oxygen port, and God's grace flows through us, enabling us. God is awaiting the invitation through prayer to move into our lives. I believe God has chosen us as his children to bring the kingdom of God to earth by his Holy Spirit through prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through changed lives, to accomplish his purposes here on this earth, to give evidence to the world around us that God is alive. God is real. God is working. And thus I believe God's power will be displayed where it is invited. You look around the world where we see powerful things happening, and I didn't take time to get stories, but I'm sure there's stories where, and my mind just defaults back to George Mueller of the orphanage when they didn't have food, and they prayed to God. And God moved in miraculous ways. And we wonder, why isn't God moving in miraculous ways today? Are we accessing the power? God's waiting for his power to be invited into our life, to be displayed to the world around us, that God is real, God is alive. God's waiting for an invitation. When we humbly come to God in prayer, God's just waiting to answer our prayers and give us the power. Keep in mind we are instruments in God's hands, and God will use us according to his will and his purposes. And although he may not move the mountains, he'll give you strength to climb the mountain. You know, there's many times in the scriptures where Paul prayed that the church would be one and that he prayed for this and that, but it wasn't answered like he prayed or like he would have wanted. But it didn't keep him from coming to God in prayer, asking for wisdom, for strength, for power, for what he was facing. Open your Bibles to Luke 9, verse 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. I'll give you a picture of what power praying looks like. Verse 9, and also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one the other a tax collector. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like this other man, extortioner, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tithe of all my possessions. And the tax collector, standing afar, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Pictures, two pictures here of two kinds of prayers. One, the Pharisee was exalting himself, lifting himself up, saying how he prayed so many times. And he's not like these other people. And he gave excess of what he was supposed to give in tax-wise and in tithes. God didn't hear his prayer. Seven words of the tax collector, Lord, merciful to me, a sinner. Not fancy words. Now, as I was thinking about this and studying about this, I said, Lord, what's it look like? It's not fancy words. God wants a heart, yield it to Him. In humility, come to Him in prayer. Lord, I realize I'm powerless on my own, and I recognize my strength comes from You. Two different kinds of prayers. One, realizing who He was and who God is, and the other was stuck on Himself. I'm reminded of the verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. Thinking about how to pray and make sure I get it right. It's not how much you know or how great of a prayer you can pray, but it's who you know. That you can, you have the key to access the power through the Holy Spirit flows into your life and ministers to our needs. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Can God work without answering our prayers? Without our prayers, yes, He can. Does our prayers move the hand of God? I believe they do. Is it important that I pray? Yes, it is. Two stories. Open to Exodus 32, verse 9. A lot of the men of the Old Testament were called to be intercessors and to intercede between the people and God. As we read this, think about the effect Moses' prayer had on God. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And Moses pleaded with the Lord and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, He has brought them out to harm them and to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from your harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore to by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land I have spoken of I will give your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. Notice verse 14. So the Lord relented from the harm which He said He would do to His people. Moses' prayer moved the hand of God according to God's will. I wonder what would have happened if Moses wouldn't have pleaded with God. Turn to Acts 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, we have another story. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. This is when Peter was going to go to trial the next day. And the night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, chained between two soldiers with others standing guard at the prison gates. I think I read there were 16 soldiers guarding Peter. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. An angel tapped him on the side and awakened him and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists. And then the angel said, get dressed, put on your sandals. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me. And the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, followed the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was really happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate to the street. And this opened to them all by itself, so they passed through. and started to walk down the street, and the angel suddenly left him. Peter realized what happened. It was amazingly true. He said to himself, "Lord, I sent an angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jews were hoping to do to me." After a little thought, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered to pray. He knocked at the door of the gate, and the servant girl named Rhoda came and opened it. She recognized Peter's voice, and she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside telling everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're going out of your mind," they said. She insisted. They decided it must be an angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally went out and opened the door, they were amazed. He motioned for them to quiet down and told them what had happened and how the Lord had led him out of the jail. At the beginning of the passage, it says the church was gathered to pray, and God moved in a miraculous way. The funny thing was that when Peter did go back to where they were praying, they didn't believe him. They were praying, I believe, for his release. And when he did come, it was like, nah, this isn't happening. And I thought to myself, how many times do miraculous things happen in my life because of prayer or someone's prayer for me? And I said, nah, this is just something that happened. It's just the way it worked out. But we need to realize it was a miracle from God. God's power was displayed. And God needs to receive the honor and the glory from the answered prayers. I hope you got a little picture of the power that is ours through prayer. We have a key and access to the enabling grace of God that God wants to pour into our lives and demonstrate his power. From my heart to yours. This morning I really wanted to bring a message on intercessory prayer. But I felt led when I began studying that do we as Christians realize the power that is ours? That we have a key to access the throne of heaven. And God wants his kingdom to come to earth and to be displayed for his honor and glory. I hope we get a glimpse of that this morning. But beyond that, my heart is for the intercessory prayer this morning. And as Mark said in Sunday school class, I didn't sit in this morning, but we were talking about relationships and the importance of relationships. And I believe this today in our world, we need intercessory prayer now more than ever. With all the pressures, with Satan trying to discourage and bombard the church, with culture just falling away from anything that is scriptural and standing for anything that's truth, we as Christians need to band together to pray in intercessory prayer for each other. You know, Satan's out to destroy our lives. He's out to discourage us. He's out to get us to doubt truth. He's out to destroy marriages. He's out to destroy homes. He's out to destroy churches, relationships. He's out to destroy anything he can destroy. And I think more than ever we need the power. We need to be an intercessors for God, to pray for each other, to lift each other up, to be intense in specific prayer, to cry out to God, to invite the powers of God into our lives, into our circumstances, into our everyday needs. Notice what happened when the church got together and prayed for Peter. And the question in my mind, what would have happened if the church wouldn't have prayed? Would have God moved in that miraculous way? I don't know. But I know one thing, God is moved by our prayers. The hand of God is moved when we humbly come to him and pray. We are holding in our hands a key to the most powerful resource in the world. I don't believe any of us would ever say, you know, God, I don't need your power. I can live life on my own. But what are we saying if we don't use the key of prayer to access God's enabling power? Do you feel powerless this morning? How is your prayer life? From the youngest to the oldest, you have a key to access God's enabling power, and he's waiting for your invitation to demonstrate that in your life. I'm going to close with my favorite verse, two verses, Ephesians 3, 21 and 22, 20 and 21, I'm sorry. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and thank you for being our God. Lord, so many thoughts go through our minds as we think about the power that is ours, the power that you've given through prayer. Lord, you're just waiting for us to come to you in prayer, to pour out your blessings on our lives, to pour out your power, to be a demonstration to the world that God is alive and God is real. But so many times, Lord, we put the key in our pocket, we unhook the plow from the tractor and try to pull, and we give up, we get discouraged. Lord, may this be an encouragement for us to come to you in prayer, to access your enabling grace. Lord, I pray, I commit each one to you, that you work in our lives, that you continue to call us, and Lord, help us to be ever dependent on you. In Jesus' name, amen.